Hi, and welcome to The Storied Human. I have another great episode for you today. My guest is Dr. Tanya English, a chiropractor for your soul. Dr. Tanya English helps women who have ever experienced loss, especially stillbirth and pregnancy loss, go from grief to grace and find treasure in tragedy. Dr. English has been working for over 30 years in healing, first as a massage therapist, then as a chiropractor, and now as an energy healer. She's also an accomplished blues singer. After experiencing the stillbirth of her first child in 1994, she had a profound healing experience through blues music. She then went on to practice chiropractic and energy healing. Dr. English, with her husband Ed, started the Tanya English Band in 2012 and witnessed more healing with her audience and with her clients online and internationally. She knows that the darkest tragedy can hold an endless well of blessings. That is an amazing bunch of stuff you've been doing. Welcome. So good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's a long journey, and you've done so much with your time and so much with your loss. And now you're helping others. That's my favorite kind of thing, is turning around what you went through and reaching out to help others. And you've gone the extra mile. I mean, goodness, you've had four careers. Some people just stick with one.
At least. Well, I still do chiropractic. I still have chiropractic patients that come into the office here.
And yeah, you do both, right?
Yeah. So I do three things right now. I do performance with the band. I do energy healing, and I do chiropractic.
This equals your happy place. I can tell by when you talk about it, you know, you just kind of light up. Yeah. It's your happy place. And I think that's a wonderful thing to share with people, that kind of energy that you can have when you find your calling, when you're in your happy space.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my undergraduate degree in theater production. I was in theater since the time I was 15. I was doing theater work and behind the scenes, on stage, the whole thing. And then thought, well, I don't think I want that career that people have. I don't think that's for me. I had a couple of really bad experiences right before I graduated from Boston University Theater School. And right after I got out, I had two very negative experiences. And I thought, I'll just take a break. And I went to massage school during that break. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And then as I was doing massage therapy, I thought, you know, there's got to be more that I could do. So I worked in all different kinds of places, hotels, health spas, all kinds of places. But my favorite was the chiropractic office. So I thought, well, why don't I just go be a chiropractor?
Wow, that's such a cool journey.
So I said, okay, let me do something completely different. What's holding me back? Nothing. I don't have any reason not to do it. So that seems like the next logical progression. So I went and studied chiropractic, came to Iowa after living on the East Coast my whole life.
And there's a culture shock, right?
Yeah, it was quite different. When you're watching the evening news and they're showing high school football, you're like, I'm in Iowa.
That sounds wonderful.
You don't have any professional teams here. So so they're showing high school football and you know, two semesters, chiropractic college is trimesters. So you do three trimesters a year. And so I was in my second trimester of school when I met my husband. And that kind of was like, oh, okay, let's see how this all works out. And then he had two daughters from his previous marriage. So he was being a single dad, and the kids were away when we met. So it was kind of convenient that way. Later on, they came to live with us. So I have blended family experience too with that.
Oh, yeah. I love how that unfolded. And what I really love is that you said, you know, I like being in this chiropractic office the most. So why don't I just become a doctor of chiropractic? Yeah. Not everybody would go to that conclusion, but I do think that's cool. And it feels meant to be. You found your way. You wanted
it's
to
the same. It's the same motivation for all things.
Same
remove
impulse.
Interference and the body heals. Remove interference and the mind heals. See yourself in a different way with the interference removed. Same for theater. If you can show somebody something from a different point of view and have them feel that emotion, then they can heal whatever that is in themselves. So it was always the same motivation, still is.
It's all connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Remove the interference and healing happens. Because we're meant to heal. We're that's how we're made.
We're built to do that. Yeah. And somehow we got away from that and it's not good. Right.
Well, the reason why we got away from it is because people believe that food is not anything but we do for pleasure, and that you have to look outside yourself for healing.
Yeah.
And because somebody else is in charge. And it's probably an old white man.
Well, that's what makes money, right? It doesn't make money if you're healing yourself, right?
Fear sells. Ask anybody that's doing heavy metal, anybody that's doing shock kind of.
Yeah.
Ask Alice Cooper. He saw the people lined up for Jaws and went, oh, people love to be afraid. Look at that. I'm going to do things that bring out the fear. And it does sell. And so, you know, working kind of against that, because fear may sell, but love heals.
Oh.
You have to make your choice.
Yeah.
Are you walking in fear? Are you walking in love? So I get real specific about that with my clients and my patients about what does, and the people that come to see me perform, what does healing really have to do with anything, except that when you make a choice to walk in love, you're making a choice for healing.
They're connected.
Yeah, because when you go into fight or flight response, fear response, fight or flight, it's a subconscious reaction to your emotion. You don't have, there's a couple of things that happen actually in fight or flight. So your body memorizes, your body, mind, spirit, we'll just say body for short, but your body, mind, spirit memorizes things that are negative to your survival. If you see a stick on the ground that looks like a snake, you will jump back from it before you realize it's a snake. I mean, it's a stick. You'll think, your brain will see the pattern of a snake and it will instinctively jump back, because snakes could be dangerous for some people. I'm just using this as an example. So your body has this memory of, that's dangerous, I'm going to jump back. And then you look a little, oh, it's not really a snake, it's a stick. I don't have to be afraid. But your body's still in fight or flight, because it takes hours to come out of fight or flight response if you don't do anything active. So what if the fight or flight response is something that's chronic? What if it's triggered? That's a big word right now. What if it's triggered by the sound of your abuser's footsteps coming up the stairs? And that sound is the trigger that something terrible is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So you have this pattern that happens. And so what I teach people to do, first thing, is how to get out of fight or flight response, and quickly. So we do that through 4-count breathing and also emotional freedom technique. Stops it right away. EMT workers, emergency workers have a 10-year shorter life expectancy.
Oh my God.
Being in fight or flight shortens your life.
Yeah.
Also, you can't make good decisions. Now, there's people that are trained to be in those situations, right? They have training for that. They don't always have training to come out of that. So what happens? They get kind of hours and hours and hours to come out. When you get training on how to bring yourself out of fight or flight, then it can shorten it by a lot. So it's very simple to do when 4-count breathing, but you can hear people talk about it as box breathing. It's 4 in, 4 hold, 4 out, 4 hold. You can just count to 4. 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4. So you hold it in, you breathe in for 4, you hold it in for 4, you exhale for 4, you hold it out for 4. When you're doing that, what you're doing is you're resetting your system. And here's the thing that's interesting that people don't realize. When you go into fight or flight, your digestion shuts off. Your immune system shuts off. If you stay in that, why do you think there's people with stomach problems, digestive problems, right? Breathing problems. They keep getting sick. They're stuck in fight or flight.
Yeah.
And they can't get out of it. Because you don't need to digest your sandwich if you're running away from danger.
Right.
You don't need to to do that. Plus, all the blood in your body goes to your large muscle groups, your legs and your arms, so you can run away. It's not in your digestion where it goes when you're in rest, digest, and heal, where nutrients are being put where they need to be and waste products are being taken out. So balancing that is really super important.
It sounds like you could really benefit a lot of EMT programs by, you know, helping with and training them and getting that. They don't realize that. Also, what occurs to me is that a lot of us are probably living there because we just expose ourselves to fear-filled media. And
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like and a lot of us are there.
What's the rule of news? If it bleeds, it leads.
That's so true.
So you're getting this emergency, emergency, emergency. That's why people who are watching certain news programs for hours on end,
yes,
you really don't need that much news.
You really don't.
You need like 15 minutes to know what's really going on, and right. That's about it. And then you
that's
can start
very
working
good
on
point.
What it is. That's so I tell a lot of my clients and my patients, go on a news fast for the next week. Don't worry. If something's going on, you'll find out.
Yeah.
You will.
That is so good. And I remember my stepmother who, you know, with my father used to have a certain news channel on like 24/7, mm-hmm. just like a habit, right? And their view of the world was literally skewed. And I used to be so afraid to talk to her because she was seeing things. She would say like, oh, the college campuses, it's insane. And there's so many protests and they're so, you know, woke and things are terrible. And my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, same thing. She used to say, oh, it's so bad out there. And even today, I look on social media, I see some wonderful example of some soul helping someone else. There's always someone in the comments saying, oh my gosh, at least there's some good people in the world. Every single time I answer them and I say, yeah, but this is how we really are. Like, you're just saying that because you don't see this in the media. This is who we really
they
are.
They want to control by fear. And that is the way of having people become less empowered. And it also stops critical thinking. So you're not getting what the truth is. Now listen, this is also part of how people deal with past wounds. So what happens if you're a child and you're coping with this situation? What do children do to cope with dangerous situations? They hide.
Yeah.
They clam up. They get that 1,000-yard stare. They have these childhood coping mechanisms that do not work when you're a grown up. They just don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not talking to somebody because you're mad at them doesn't work.
Doesn't.
It keeps
I've
you
tried
isolated.
It doesn't work.
Right. It keeps you isolated. So what we want to do is we want to update people's coping mechanisms so that they're doing healthy things with this. So that's why I say news fast for at least a week. And what you'll find is that you're a lot happier because you're not constantly hearing about terrible things, terrible people doing terrible things. Oh, but they'll give you a couple of nuggets of good stuff.
Just to keep you going.
Yes. Yeah. Like you'll notice this on the morning news things. They usually end with something good.
Yeah.
Because then you can walk away feeling happy. But here's what they've done for the 2 hours before. Oh, and by the way, this is a special thing that you can only have if you do it now. So that urgency, that fear of missing out, all of that stuff happens. And it's all marketing. It's all it is.
Isn't it kind of terrifying? Yeah. And it works.
It's nothing to do with healing. It has nothing to do with being a healthy person.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like advertising on steroids. Like you have to worry about how you smell and whether you look good and whether your skin.
The whole thing about people shouldn't smell anything is just bizarre. How bad can it be? I mean, I know that there's people that have a terrible problem with body odor, but that's just bizarre. I mean, there's so much out there that helps people from stopping to smell, like dryer sheets and everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else that you have to do to, you know, make sure that you don't smell.
Ooh. It's too many things to worry about. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really good to become conscious of those things, and you help people do that.
Yeah, because a lot of times people, like the people that I work with, are generally ready to do something that they know is a deeper issue. Like they know that there's something energetically that's happening to them that they don't, it's like mysterious kind of behavior. Like, I don't even know why I do this. I don't even know what this is about. I don't know why I say these things. I don't know why I do these things. And it's a lot of self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Knowing that you want a certain thing and then you stop it from happening for some reason. So what happens when we do that is we can't attain our goals. And then we get goal trauma from maybe trying and putting our heart into it and, you know, giving it all we've got and it doesn't work out. And so now we know in our knower that this isn't going to work. It's never going to work. This isn't for me. I've heard people say this. Yes. I've never, all of those things are all about self-sabotage. And so then people get into this whole blame thing. And here's what I want to say that's really important. There's no need to blame. There is no need to blame or shame yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody does everything perfectly. What it means is you can't hold yourself hostage and keep punishing yourself for things that there's no fault for. We're human beings. We hang on to stuff. I'm saying stuff instead of the other word. We hang on to stuff that we don't need to hang on to. But how do you let that go when you're told over and over again, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, and there's no good men out there, and I'll never find my perfect someone. This is the stuff that we say to ourselves. So then we have this self-sabotage. So let me back up to the story that I have about having a stillbirth while I'm in chiropractic college. I'm supposed to be learning to be a better healer.
Oh my God.
And my baby dies inside me. I mean, that can really give you pause. What am I even doing here? So for me, because I'm a different kind of person, I guess. Yeah, I am. I thought, as I'm lying there in the hospital bed, this is a big deal. This is the 2x4 of harsh reality hitting me in the head. I better pay attention to what is going on here. What's happening in me? What's happening in my world? I was not interested in blaming or shaming anybody, and neither was my husband. Because there were a lot of people that are like, well, it was those midwives. And oh, it was this. And oh, it was that. And what I want to say is, like, people die.
Oh, yeah.
They die. We're all going to do it. Some people die when they're old. Some people die when they're young. We had a 5- and a 6-year-old that were waiting for this new baby brother to be born. We had to explain it to them. And this is what we said. It's not a bad thing to die. Is it sad? Yeah, because we were looking forward to it. But here's the thing. Can we make it so that it actually is okay that that happened? Not great, but can we make it okay so that we can move forward with our life and find some blessings that are in here? My favorite verse in the Bible is count it all joy. Easy to remember. James 1:2. Count it all joy. Because here's what happens when you count it all joy. You have to look for the joy. You have to find where is there joy in this situation? Because this sucks.
Yeah.
This is really bad. For me, it was really bad.
It could engulf somebody. Yes.
It did. I saw people get engulfed by this in support groups. Let me support you in being in more grief.
Oh my God. Yes.
So there was no blame and shame about this. We actually had the doctor who went to the hospital when things were obviously not progressing correctly. And the doctor said, wanted to blame our midwives who had never lost a baby in hundreds of birthings that they'd done, never. And I said to the doctor, are you blaming these people for what's happening? And, you know, you have to be willing to accept some mystery in life. I don't know how to make a baby. My thoughts can't make a baby. What's making the baby? It's my subconscious and the innate ability that I have to create inside me because I'm female and I have all the things, but I don't know how to do that. If it was up to me, I would have made blood and forget to make blood vessels beforehand. Right. So it's not up to me.
There's a mystery.
So in chiropractic, we call that innate intelligence. Each cell has an intelligence about it that knows what to do with itself. Now you can call that whatever you want. In chiropractic, we call it innate intelligence. You're born with it. You don't have to do anything about it. This is a fingernail cell. It's not a liver cell.
Yeah.
And it knows what
to do. And if you get out of the way, it'll all work in harmony.
Exactly. But what happened with me was something that is called a tragedy, right? That's called a tragedy. And I call a tragedy something that changes very quickly.
Yes.
A tragedy is something where change happens so quickly, you can't quite wrap your head around it. It takes some time to do that. Now, the other thing that I'm like, okay, if everything happens to the highest good, because I've been saying that for a while, do I really believe that?
Yeah, that really tests it.
Is this to the highest good? Really? Because I held that baby. We named that baby. We baptized that baby. Eddie. That was his name, Edward Oliver. And what happened? I got to hold him, and then he was gone. And then I got a little box with his ashes in it. That's what happened. That's the reality. Now there's time that's happening there. So I'm, you know, able to wrap my head around it a bit, and things happened that were kind of supernatural too, that made me remember God's got this. I can rely on that. I have faith. How do people get through that don't have any faith?
I don't know.
At all. They don't have that. That's one of the things that I help people do is like discover where is your faith at? Where is it? I'm not talking about religion at all.
No, I know. I understand. People get lost. I think people get lost.
Sure. They keep saying, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And then they don't have anything.
Yeah.
And they forget that you can have that direct relationship with source energy. That's why I call it source energy. It's a little less triggering for people.
Yeah. Right.
So I say, okay, if everything happens to the highest good, show me the good. Show me what's going on here. And I look to my left and there's my husband, steadfast and true, loving me, supporting me, nurturing me, going through the same thing, by the way, just lost his first son. He's dealing with it. And he's loving and nurturing and supportive and caring. Hello, there's some highest good right there. Right. So you don't really usually have to look that far to find it. And then just keep looking for that. Keep looking for that. Because I'm one of those people that was not wired to think everything is always happy. That's not me.
Right.
I'm always looking for how can I make this even better?
Yeah.
Maybe this is okay, but I'd like it better. So I get teased by my husband about that too. Oh, did you find a way to make it better? Just not good enough, is it? No, I'm like, it is good enough, but I'm always going to look. Just my nature to do that. And I am okay with that for the most part. So looking for just let me remind you, seek and you'll find. So what are you seeking? So I was seeking, where's the joy? Where's the love? What can I do to help myself here? I had a buckwheat hull pillow. You know, those are kind of heavy and I carried that around when I was at home. I just carry the pillow because it had weight to it and it moved a little bit. When you move it, it moves. And so that helped me feel less alone. I needed to have that comfort. I needed to hold that baby. And then, you know, to be keeping looking for that. Well, I remember one day we were swimming in a pool and my husband said, let's think of something that we celebrate every day of the month. What can we celebrate on the first? I said, well, my sister was born on the first. He's like, great, we can celebrate your sister. What about the second? So we went through all the days of the month up to 31, and we found something that we could celebrate for every day.
I love that.
Are you seeking? Are you looking? Because if you're stuck in your stuff, you can't look. And that's part of what happens to people is the people that I work with know I'm stuck in my stuff. I can't even see this. I know it's out there. I've been told it's out there. I trust that people are telling me the truth, but I can't find it. I can't see it.
What's hitting me is that you have to go up higher and look at that bigger picture, that there's so much more involved often that we don't get. And we have to allow ourselves to try to see it from up higher, the bigger picture.
Yes, you have to look. This is why I work with chakras, because the third eye, that chakra, that sixth chakra, is your 50,000 foot view.
Yeah.
What am I seeing in that? What can I picture? I mean, you can do it anytime. Just close your eyes, take a deep breath, relax, and say, show me the 50,000 foot view.
Oh, that's so
cool.
What
am I seeing here?
I'm going to try that later.
So when I'm doing an intuitive energy scan, I'm doing that for the person that I'm working with. So I go through each chakra and say, okay, this is, we're connected energetically, and we do it through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I record it for the person. I'm going to connect with you energetically. I'm going to look at each one of these energy centers. I'm going to see what's there for you. You've told me about what your pain is, what your joy is, what you want to get out of this. What would it feel like to have this pain removed or stopped? So you've got some idea. Maybe you don't know. Maybe your answer to that question is, I don't even know what that would feel like. So then I'm going through to find, where is this stuff stuck? What's been going on here with this soul? Is it lifetimes? Is it generations? Is it this life? What's going on with them? And then I use lots of different techniques to help clear that stuff up so people can go, oh, now I can see myself doing this. And now, oh, when those puzzle pieces start to click into place and you get this epiphany, it's just kind of amazing because you start to see like, oh, that's why that happened, so that I could learn this. So the motto here is always be learning, not ABC, not always be closing, always be learning. Because everything is happening for us. Everything is happening for us, not to us.
For.
If you think that things are happening to you, you go into victim mode.
Oh my gosh.
If things are happening for you, you start to look for, ooh, what's here for me? Seek and you'll find.
Totally different way to look.
Yeah.
I love this.
Completely different. Yeah. So it's a very optimistic way. This is why I need it, because I'm not the most optimistic person.
So it reminds you. Yeah.
I need to keep reminding myself, no, wait a minute. You believe this, right?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I believe it. This is me talking to myself. And it happens to everybody. Higher self says, you know what the right answer is, right? You know, it's like love. And I go, yep. And then the mean girl in the back goes, but you don't do that. You don't get that. Look at yourself compared to that other person. Their website's so much better than yours.
Yes, yes.
Right? So then you have to learn how to quiet that mean girl down. I have a friend that calls that the shitty committee. It's in the back of your head telling you all the crap that you say to yourself, right? You're going to wear that? Sometimes it sounds like your mother, by the way. You're going to wear that. What are you wearing?
To be showing that much skin, you know, like that's what mine says. I think you should cover up.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah, because they grew up in a different time. And
yeah, definitely.
There are times exactly when that's really true. You know, it's going to get cold out. You should probably take a sweater with you. Thank you, Mom. I'm going to do that. But to realize Mom's right about some things.
But that's, she was. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing that's so interesting, too, is that committee that's telling you negative things, it's comparing you to others. I was just doing this with a friend of mine this morning. She's like, are you comparing yourself? I'm like, oh, shoot, I was. What we want to do is enlist that part of ourselves to do a different job. Ooh. Because really what it's trying to do is protect you.
Yes.
It's always about protection.
It's overdoing it, maybe, or there's old, I always talk about old messages from older times that you need to take out of the vault, look at it, and decide whether it serves you anymore.
And that's hard to do on your own. That's why it's good to work with another person like me,
yeah,
who's looking,
yeah,
for that for you, who's there to hold space for you to be able to do that. Because let's just face it, being inside the bottle, you can't read the label on the outside.
That's very,
when you're inside. So you want to be able to allow yourself to have another set of eyes. In theater, we would call it the third eye, which is not the people on stage, but the director is saying, I don't see enough emotion here. How about if you try this as if you're this kind of animal, and boom, everything shows up. So you have to have somebody that's showing you the way.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm doing the same thing I always did. You're showing you the way to look at it differently so that you can get the result that you need.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
You saying, and I've had people say this, well, thanks for that. I'm going to work on this on my own. And I'm like, well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
Because it's really hard to do this on your own. And if you really invest in yourself, the dividends are amazing. The dividends that you have are not just your number of clients and, you know, how much money you make. That's all worldly stuff. The other part of it is you have a rich spiritual life and spiritual practice that holds you up when things are not great, when things are challenging, when you have a health challenge, when you have a financial challenge, and you remember, like, this is just in the ebb and flow of life. That's all it is.
That's such a gift. I had breast cancer 4 years ago, and it wasn't that hard to get through it. I mean, I was lucky it wasn't that bad. You know, they caught it really early. But I thought of other times in my life when I would not have handled it. I was just so aware of where I had gotten myself spiritually. And
so, you know, for you, it was like a reminder that you've done a lot of work on yourself.
It was a lovely feeling. And I said, boy, this really depends where you're at, how you handle these things. And for me, I was able to help other people. I would say, when my sister-in-law got sick a couple of years later, I said, look, I got scared too. I got overwhelmed. I thought of the worst possible outcome.
Always.
You can't do that. Take a deep breath. And so the way I handled it was, and it sounds so simple, but it was really helpful. I just said, nope, we're not going to worry about that. We're going to worry about the very next doctor appointment, and we're going to get through that.
Yeah.
And we're going to worry about the very next surgery, and we're going to get through that. Other people are handling this for you, and you're just going to do each step. And it worked. It was great.
And we're going to have a divine assistance in everything that we do. Divine assistance is there. Now, let me make clear, divine assistance is innate intelligence. It's source energy. It's the glue that holds everything together. It's everything in between. Every molecule, every atom, all the space in between is source energy. Think about it like this, too. You want to get down to the nitty gritty on this? It's subatomic. That's why my practice, my chiropractic, is Quantum Healing International.
Oh, I love that.
Because we're working on the quantum healing. What's a quantum shift? It's a very tiny, 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 tiny shift, and it changes everything. When an atom moves from one area of probability to another area of probability, it changes the makeup of the molecule.
That's intense.
So if we're the macrocosm of that microcosm, then our shift in reality changes everything. So that's why people have instant healings. That's why they go, oh, I feel lighter already.
That's why.
I had this client who I was working with who is in her 90s, and she was really suffering from the loss of her daughter-in-law who died, and she was really missing her, and it was disturbing her that how much she was not being able to move through it.
Yes.
And the first session, she's like, well, that was easy. I feel so much better already. I thought this was going to take weeks. And I said, well, we did something because you haven't had any of this work done before. it's going to feel like that. It's going to feel like a big shift. And now we can, you know, really work on you staying in that level, because you want to practice doing that. And that's what makes the difference. The consistency makes the difference.
So it's and physical.
Even when you're consistent with it, and you're consistent with your spiritual practice, or you're consistent with checking in with yourself to seeing, you know, where am I at with this today? And you go, well, today's not that great. No. Like, you know what to do. You know right. what to do.
Well, I was talking with a friend about how you get better. You do the work, you get better. And actually two friends, and they both agreed, but you still, you know, go into that stinking thinking. It's just that you catch it faster. That's what I find.
You catch it faster. And also, you know what to do about it.
Yes.
And also people say, well, why is this still coming up again? I'm like, because there's another level of it ready to heal. You're like yeah. in a spiral.
Yeah, it's a spiral.
You look like you're in the same place, but you're actually doing better with it because now you're catching it faster.
I do love that.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Spirals are lovely, aren't they?
Yeah. Spiral. I love that. They were saying on some weird website that time is really a spiral. That's much more accurate, that you're closer to the past as you move up certain parts of the past, because the spiral yeah. is very, you know, there's spirals, not a line.
You can also do the spiral of shame, which is, this sucks, and here's the reason why, and I'm right about that. And when we're doing emotional freedom technique and tapping on those things, it releases it over and over again. Because what the tapping does is it takes you from fight or flight into rest, digest, and heal every single time. Every time.
That is so cool. Really simple. I never made that connection. Yeah.
That you know
what else you're reminding me of? They talk about junk DNA, quote unquote, junk DNA. And more people are saying, why did they call it junk? I mean, there's so much that happens and so much DNA, so much a portion of your DNA. And that's really your transmitter. That's your connecting.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, they also say that you only use 10% of your brain. That's not true.
Yeah. Why do they say that? Yeah.
Because they can measure that. But if you don't have, if you don't have an instrument to measure something, if you still think the sun revolves around the earth, because you don't have a way to see that.
Then you're going to see that.
And you can't expand your mind. Then they'll kill you. That's what happened to Galileo.
I know. You're right.
They will kill you. If you're a doctor at Harvard and you discover that there's actually a bacteria that causes ulcers, they will fire you. Because that's not what causes ulcers. But here's the facts. So science and religion are very, very similar. If you go against the grain on anything that's an established, which makes no sense to me. Science is all about discovering the next thing.
Being flexible and changing as you learn new things. Right.
That's what we learned in school.
People get entrenched. They do. They get
totally entrenched. And if somebody says something different, ask Bruce Lipton about that.
Yeah.
If somebody says something different, then you're done.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
Well, they did that to all the doctors.
Science.
Yeah, in the beginning of Lyme disease, these doctors were brave and they treated people and they talked about long-term Lyme, and they were denied insurance approval. Yep. They were made fun of. They were, you know, run out of the town on a rail. I had Lyme disease. It was a nightmare trying to find somebody to treat it, because I had it back before people were hip to it.
Right.
And I felt like when people talked about it before I had it, I felt like they sounded a little crazy, to be honest. Because the symptoms are so all over the place, you know?
Yeah, they are.
Thank goodness for Lyme patients, because somebody who had Lyme told me, you know, your weirdo symptoms add up to something. And I found a good place to be tested and treated. But yeah, you're so right that there's a real rejection. There's a real upholding of, you know, what we know. And this is what we know.
Here's my place in society. I know about this. You need to, you know, it's like that. I saw this recently, some meme that was like, so you're the only one who has the point of view that's correct. How interesting. Right? That, and some graffiti that I saw that said, well, 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 if it isn't the emotions I was trying to avoid all along.
You know, somebody made my head explode like 10 years ago when they said, we were running, I was helping my friends run a big expo. And he said, well, how do you want to do this? You know, there's a lot of right ways to do this. And I was like, what? there's a lot of right ways. And I just honestly had never said it that way. And I thought about it and he's like, he's so right. He's so exactly right. There's so many ways that would work. Why do we get so attached to one way?
We get attached because we want to have all the answers. And if, control, like I said earlier, if you don't have room for mystery in your life, room for unanswered questions in your life, if you have to get it all figured out, that's a really good indicator that there's something that's going on in you that really doesn't need to be going on.
That's such a good connection. I really felt
that. And it has to do with how much bacteria, how much viruses, how much yeast is in your body, because they all have their own way of wanting to stay surviving too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can change your thinking. You can have brain fog because of those things.
Yeah.
You really want to get clear about what you're receiving from source, because that's going to help you guide you through life. Like what I say, and you've probably seen this in other places, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. You want to be the co-pilot.
That. I love that.
You need switch seats. You need to let God drive, whatever, you know, and one of the things, one of the ways that you can do that is you learn how to get yourself quiet down all the busyness and list making and all the stuff that you're telling and that committee back there, that mean girl, quiet it all down so that you can receive that information, because healing happens above down, inside out. Above down, inside out. It doesn't happen from me going to that doctor unless I've been sent to that person through source, right?
Right.
Unless you have the experience of knowing something, just like, I don't know how I know this, but I know this. This is what a lot of my clients tell me. I don't know how I found you, but I know I'm supposed to work with you.
Yeah, that happens.
And it happens a lot. And the thing that I tell people is there's no coincidence here.
Right.
That's not a thing. That's what people make up when they don't want to say that there's anything else that has to do with it. But, you know, I don't work with a lot of atheists, by the way.
That's so interesting.
They've got it all figured out.
Or they don't need us.
And they're happy with that, not knowing. And that's fine. They don't have to.
You know what's funny? Some atheists I know, they worship the rational. Mm-hmm. It's a very religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not God-centered. They worship the rational. So that's why they need to control everything and explain anything and analyze everything and be logical, because they worship that. And you can't puncture that.
Not all atheists are like that too. I mean, some of them actually have room for mystery, and I don't know. And that's okay. And that's that you can work with. If I don't know, but here, like, feel this. What does this feel like to you? So I do a lot of work on subconscious emotional memories that are overriding present time. So you have a subconscious emotional memory. That means it's a memory that you have that has intense emotion attached to it, and you can't consciously remember it.
You don't even know. Consciously.
So it's running your body right now. It's doing it right now. Right now. And it happens to everybody. That's how human beings are wired. We haven't evolved past that yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that every emotion that you have that goes unexpressed, that goes unacknowledged, that is not honored, gets subverted down basically into second chakra, into the bowl of your pelvis, and it sits there, and it will come out another way if you don't deal with it.
It doesn't go away.
Remember what I said, it's an intense emotional feeling. Every emotion has its own physiology. What do you think those feelings are? Do you think they're love? No, they're regret, they're fear, they're resentment. Every negative feeling is basically fear. Every positive feeling is basically love. They're just all different shades of those feelings. So if you're feeling angry, what are you afraid of?
Right. There's always fear behind it.
The bottom belief is, well, what, and why is that bad? oh, I'm so angry. This person, you know, ripped me off and I should go at them and get my money back. And, you know, people that are always suing somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a habit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go after them and I'm going to show them, you know, that they're wrong. And like, that doesn't work all the time. Doesn't work a lot of the time.
Talk about a spiral.
If somebody does something criminal, you shouldn't, you know, get justice. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying working on that inside. No, put it outside. Get a lawyer. Have somebody do that.
Right.
That's the job.
Right.
Don't do it inside yourself and suppress it and suppress it and suppress it. This is why I work with a lot of people who have had childhood sexual abuse. Because who's talking about that? Well, Oprah's not talking about that so much anymore because she's never talk show. But there are a lot of people, 4 out of 5 women, who've had some kind of sexual abuse happen to them as children. 4 out of 5. Children, I should say.
Oh, my God.
4 out of 5. 4 out of 5.
That's a lot.
It's huge. And here's what happens. It gets suppressed. Don't tell anybody. I'll kill your family if you tell anybody. They get threatened. So now that goes down there too. And it all goes down into this experience. And what happens to women when they grow up and they've had that happen to them? Miscarriage. Stillbirth. Can't get pregnant. Can't fulfill what they feel is their purpose on life, on the earth.
But there's a whole complex
their children.
Web of emotions.
Yeah. And so when it's not addressed, we have that. And this country, in our country, the US, we have the highest infant mortality rate of any industrialized country. And there are about 40 countries that are bringing down faster than we are.
That's crazy.
We have the highest incident of heart disease in women. It's way far, way more women die of heart disease than they do of cancer. By and far. But what are we doing to help people protect their heart? What do? We punish them. We punish them over and over and over again. Mm. We don't hold them and say, yes, we need those women groups to come together, to be together. We need that support with each other. That's why I have a group online, Healing with the Blues. It's a group that we have on Facebook where people can come and I do a healing session every Tuesday morning. I just did one this morning. Mm. Every Tuesday morning at 9:30, you can watch it live, 9:30 Central.
Sounds amazing.
And you can watch it anytime. Just join the group. And what happens in that is you get a healing session, but then there's also other ways to interact with people who have been through something similar. And I do classes and, you know, carry on classes and all kinds of things. Wow. And then we do performing with the band too.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. I'm so intrigued by that, that that's part of this.
So about 13 years ago, I want to say, I started singing with my husband's band. Every once in a while, I'd get up and sing a couple songs at one particular place where they would have this kind of jam every 6 weeks or so. And I'd go. And then it started to be when I walked in the door, people would say, oh, you're going to sing?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, they like it. They want me to sing. And I was doing it for me because I'm like, I'm in my 50s. I don't care anymore what people think. And, you know, I was in my late 40s, early 50s. And I was like, I don't care. So now you know how old I am. But
you don't look it.
But see, I'm happy to look it because I'm here. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, we're alive. Right? Like, yeah. We made it.
I don't want to repeat any of that stuff over again. There was a couple years that were really great. I'd love to.
There are a few things I wouldn't mind repeating. Yeah.
But the problem is, like, you know, when people start wanting you to do it, then you're like, oh, okay. So now they want me to do it. And a couple of friends of ours who are also musicians, my husband's a bass player, has been playing bass for a long time. And they said, why aren't you guys doing something together? And I looked at him and I said, well, do you want to? And he's like, yeah, sure. He goes, but if we put a band together, you're going to have to get gigs because they don't just want to rehearse with you. And I was like, oh, yeah, they are going to. Can we get gigs? And he's like, yeah, we can get gigs. So at this point, we've played some pretty big festivals and lots of wonderful places. And we're getting ready to do the Healing with the Blues program. It's this edutainment, infotainment, to help people understand the connection between blues and healing, so that we're also keeping the blues alive, because it's important to keep that art form alive, and to help them understand why is this a healing experience? Because classical music can heal too.
Yeah,
but nobody says, yeah, classical music is a healer.
But I feel that way. In fact, didn't they do studies that say it helps organize your brain or make your brain sort of feel balanced?
Yeah. I mean, the fact is like, if you listen to Mozart when you're studying, you'll retain more information.
I love that. And I also, frankly, have always loved the blues, and I had no idea why. I just always did.
And if you go to my YouTube channel, I'm doing a little commercial here, which is Dr. Tanya English.
Okay. We'll put all this in the show notes.
Yeah. Then you'll see I've done interviews with lots of blues musicians on what does blues as a healer mean to you? And they're pretty much saying, because somebody's speaking my feelings, because somebody's had this happen to them, and I'm experiencing it with them. Oh, and now I can release it. So again, talking about releasing negative feelings, but not just negative feelings, but acknowledging, owning, and honoring your feelings.
Yeah.
How about that?
And knowing you're not alone, sharing and that.
Doing it in music, which is pure vibration. Why not?
So you stumbled on that, and now it's a thing.
So nobody, I don't think anybody else is doing it that's been an actual doctor of healing.
I don't think so.
So that's why I want to get this message out to the world. I want people to understand that this is a real thing, and they can have that experience of healing intentionally.
Yeah.
Not just, I happened to be there and boy, it was great, but
you can seek it out.
You can seek it out, and you can actually create it for yourself. And if you really want to dive into it, then you can work with me. And I'm not teaching you how to sing the blues. You can do that. I'm teaching you the feelings that are behind that, and how you can acknowledge, own, and honor your feelings. And how you can acknowledge, own, and honor the generations of information that's landed on you, and how you can release it. So it's really powerful. And I've spent, over 30 years studying this, practicing it, living it. And it's very rewarding in that way, because people have instant healings. They have healings, and then they want more. And that's the thing that's really cool about this, is like, once you have that healing experience and you're like, that's what it feels like. And what I can describe it as is like a breeze goes through the room, and yet there is no air moving.
Wow.
That's what it feels like. It feels like you catch that wave at just the right point, and it takes you all the way into the beach, and you just land on the sand.
Sounds wonderful to me.
It's a good feeling.
You're making me want to do this.
It's kind of addictive, actually. You want, like, how can I do this by myself? Okay, so I'll show you how to do it. So that's why we practice using the tools, so that you can bring, because this is not something that is rocket science. You can actually do this. Anybody can do this. Mm-hmm. We actually want people to be able to experience, and I say we, like most healers, all healers that are doing this for the reason of that they want love and healing and peace in the world, is because you can do this, but you haven't been taught how to do it.
Right.
You have the power to heal within you, but you've been taught you don't have any power. You've been taught some other person has the power.
Well, I read something about how could there be a placebo effect if we don't have the power to heal ourselves.
Exactly.
And that blew my, I'm embarrassed to say, I never really thought of that until recently. I was like, well, of course. And I have a very strong, quote unquote placebo effect. In fact, I've stopped recommending like supplements to people because I realized they work for me because, I believe they will.
it's one of those things where if you feel any tug or pull after hearing this, And it starts to, like, you think that there's something in here for me, then I'm going to encourage you to follow that leading. That's what we call it. It's like a tap that you're getting from source. Listen up. Like I said, don't wait for it to be the 2x4 of harsh reality.
Yeah, it does increase. Yeah, don't wait for that.
If you feel that tug in your, like you just said, boy, you're making me want to do this. It's not me that's making you want to do it. It's you hearing the truth and saying, I want more truth.
I want to do that.
I want more of knowing that this power is within me. I want to get in touch with that power that's within me. I want to know that it's my friend. I want it to be there with me all the time. I want to sit in the passenger seat and say, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd really like to go here. If you have that in your life, if you want that in your life, then get in touch with me, because it's so important for you to know that there is a way for you to do that. You don't have to be out there in the weeds, in the swamp, looking for it. It's right here. And divine assistance is always available. So if you feel like you're hearing this and it's actually you getting tapped on the shoulder saying, this is for you. Listen, take an action. Don't just stuff it again. Don't stuff it again. You know, we've all heard the story about the guy who died in the flood, goes to heaven, says, why didn't you save me? And God says, I sent you 2 boats and a helicopter. What else do you want?
I've heard that. That's a good one.
It makes sense, because people will, and I understand there's a time for you to take action. There's a time for you to not do anything and wait. But listen, there, you'll know the difference when you're listening to this. You'll know what the difference is. You'll feel it. And you'll also feel that mean committee, that mean girl.
Yeah.
Say, that's not for you. That's what I want you to watch out for.
Yes.
But she'll say,
all look out for her. Yeah.
She'll say, you can do this on your own. You don't need anybody.
Yeah.
That's the way she'll say it too.
Oh yeah. She said that to me a lot. I used to do things alone a lot. Yeah. And that's one thing I think I finally learned, that you really don't need to do everything by yourself.
And especially if you're female, because females need each other. Women need each other.
They do.
And that doesn't mean that men don't and trans don't.
Yeah, of course they do.
We all need each other.
We all do. We all need connection. And it does make me sad, because I see people less connected to nature and to each other. Like for me, nature is a real lifesaver. I've stayed in touch, and it's another podcast, but I started to be aware of the mother. I started to be aware of Mother Earth. I started to literally have her, you know, intrude in a nice way in my thoughts. And I was like, wow, what a connection.
Have you ever been aware of the spirit that's in the earth and this plants and have them communicate with you?
I have the divas, right? Yeah. I remember years ago, and this is like, I can't believe what you make me think of, but I was coming out of work. I had worked really hard and long, and it was the end of the day. It was almost sundown, and I was coming out of this giant building, one of the AT&T buildings, and I was walking down this huge wide sidewalk, and there were little trees, like not full grown trees at all, on either side. And they were, I learned later, they were pin oaks. My husband identified them, and they were sort of stretching up. And I just said, why do I like these so much? Because you come out and you're kind of like overtired, and so you're maybe more receptive. And I just said, why do I like these so much? And an answer came, and it said, because they're reaching and they're striving, and you love that feeling. And I was like, okay, it was so long ago, but I never forgot that feeling of that communication.
Yeah. And when you allow yourself to, you can really be grounded in that energy, and it can help you even things out. So one of the things that I talk about with my clients is grounding themselves, going out and standing on the ground in their bare feet or their socks.
I do that. And yeah, I started doing that. It's wonderful. Oh my God.
It's very fast. It doesn't take any time at all. And you'll go, when you do it almost every time.
My blood pressure is very low.
Yeah. Yeah, it really changes things. Being in fight or flight is really not helping people.
Yeah.
It's a survival instinct. And here's what I want to remind people. When you're in fight or flight, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up, your immune system shuts down, your digestion shuts down. And it could be from hearing a plastic bag blowing down the street behind you and thinking that it's somebody following you.
Right. The trigger.
It's your mind that does it.
And it's not
your mind that does it.
And how can you be healthy if all those things shut down? It's a very good point.
And what do you do to bring yourself out of it? So just do 4-count breathing really quickly. It's really that simple. They teach Navy SEALs to do it. I just saw it in a movie recently and I was like, oh, good. People are starting to catch on.
They're getting it. Yeah.
This is something that you can do that will help you think clearer, have more ideas, better opportunities, be more creative, walk in love, all of those good things.
Well, you are a beacon for us. I tell you, you really are. And I've just loved talking to you today. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with? I mean, you said so many good things, but I like to give people a chance at the end to.
I really think that the most important thing is to know that you have the power within you to heal. And when you have someone teach you how to use it, you have the superpower of choice. And you're not a victim anymore. You're not a victim.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lynn. I appreciate you.
You're the best.